Welcome to the Yeshiva Shalmaila. This is David Lichtenstein. This week is Lag BaOmer, so we're going to be speaking to a number of Rabbanim, others about Lag BaOmer. We're going to have from New York, Rabbi Erich Steinfeld, Mechaber Sfarim, Magid Shir, writer. He's going to be speaking about Lag BaOmer and Sfira in Halacha, music, shaving, chasanis, etc. From Eretz Yisrael, we're going to have Rabbi Yitzchak Pindrus. He's the highest ranking Fruma politician in Eretz Yisrael. He is the head of Degel HaTorah, both from the Chassidim and from the Litvisha. This is the party that represents all the B'nai Torah and Chassidim. And he's going to be speaking about Miron, and he's going to speak about the problems of Chil Shabbos this year. And we're going to discuss other political, it's about Tashchis when you have somebody like this. Not to speak about a number of the other Israeli political things that are going on right now. We're going to have from Eretz Yisrael, from Yerushalayim, Rabbi Chiel Goldhaber. He's a historian who has researched Lag BaOmer extensively and printed on it. He'll tell us the makor of a chag, or a Yom Simcha that's so ardently celebrated by so many of Klal Yisrael, that only appears to be 800 years old. Really amazing. And the Chassam Sofer was ardently against it. Al Tzchadash Hashem Asim Min HaTorah. New Chagim. I wonder if any of his Einikoch, celebrated or go to Miron, but he was certainly against it. So we'll speak with Rabbi Chiel Goldhaber. What is the Makoyer after literally years of research of Lag BaOmer? A word from our sponsor. Headlines 3 came out before Pesach. It has many topics. We speak about slavery. We speak about racism and halacha, women learning Gemara, alcohol consumption in Kiddush clubs, burial in Eretz Yisrael. Is there a real inyan in it, or is it just a scam? We're going to be speaking about pets in halacha, Shabbos and Yom Tov, Muktzah, etc. Abusive parents. We're speaking about kol kfuda bas belach panima. Do women need to hide? Should yeshivas learn adult-oriented topics? Here's an interesting one. Are we allowed to acknowledge mistakes of our gedolim, or are we supposed to see them as supermen? I think you'll enjoy it. We have, after every shtickle, we bring the Rabbanim who appeared on the show for that topic. So you'll meet many of the Rabbanim that you know in the Sefer as well. This week's parsha speaks about the Sor Lazazel. It says in the pasuk, you take Shnei Seirim Lachatas, and one he takes from the Geirel a klaf, and he writes La Hashem. And when he writes La Azazel, what does La Azazel mean? Ask any taxi driver in Israel. When they say something about Azazel, they're not saying nice things about whoever it may be. But it's a promontory, a rocky cliff, a remote and obscure place, dangerous. That's where they sent it. The Ramban says that Azazel was not a carbon. He says that Azazel was a bribe to the demons. He says, L'samoel. He says, we sent him a bribe, a gift of a sawyer, so that he shouldn't interfere with our avoda on Yom Kippur, and the Kohen Gadol's avoda should go straight up. He says, that's what the sawyer L'Azazel represents. But the Meiri disagrees. The Meiri says that the Azazel, the Sel Azazel, the sawyer L'Azazel was also a carbon, and he proves it from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, take Shnei Seirim L'Chatas. He says, if it's a Chatas, it must be a carbon. And there are many rais from the Gemara that a Sor L'Azazel really is a carbon. I'll give you one for example. The Gemara says, D'chiyasei zuhi shchitasei. Because for the din of Oisei Vespinoi, it has to be a din of Shchita. So the Gemara says, when you throw it off the cliff, it's a Shchita. According to the Meiri, it's very understandable. So it has a din of a carbon. So what does that mean, though? According to the Rabban, it's understandable. The Sor L'Azazel to the demons, bad guy, finished. The Meiri, it's a carbon. What type of a carbon is that? So the Rambam in the Moira says something interesting. He says the Sor L'Azazel, he implies, is also a carbon. Why was it Nikrav not on the Mizbeach? He says because it had so many sins that it carried on it, like the really bad stuff. He says it was a kapara. It was too great of a kapara to put on the mizbeach. Too many averis. So they were marching it very, very far away, implying that it's a kapara in way even greater than what the sawyer that was Lahashem. What does that mean? I'll give you a few examples, four or five examples. Simplest one, Esther. Esther, everybody dances, Megillas Esther. But let's think of it. After we finish the Suda, the band goes home. You wake up in the morning. You don't have such a bad hangover. You go to bake matzahs. Life back to normal. Esther didn't have such a happy ending.
Well, she does Megillacest. I guess that's good. She spends the rest of her life with Achashverosh. He was a Rasha Mitchilasev at Sayyid Gemara says, if you read the Megillah, there's some really monstrous things that he does. So she lives with this Shika, Goy, evil animal the rest of her life. Well, but what does she accomplish? Well, for the start is that Sol of Klal Yisrael for Haman. But even greater in the rest of her life, she gives birth to Kairish, who ultimately allows the Binyan by Yisheni. I ask you, could Esther have done this if she walked on the light side of the moon? You couldn't do this unless you were willing to go to Mekoymos Rechaikim, remote places, far flung, far away from the Beis Medrash, from Beis Yaakov, from a Jewish neighborhood. So there could be something, the Karban Lazazel, that has great value. I'll give you another one. This is a really fascinating story. Machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. St. Peter, everybody's heard of him. You have the city St. Petersburg. He was a Jew, same age as Isaiah Isht, lived contemporaneously with him, and he became a Christian and ultimately the first pope. Rashi calls him Peter Chamoyer in the Machzeh Vitri. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. He says, there's piyutim in the Roshanan Yom Kippur davening Etein Tehillah that he wrote. And you know something fascinating? The Baruch Tam, the Shver of the in the Hagoyis and the Shulchan Aruch, nobody less than the father-in-law of the Sanzerov, says that the Shulchan Aruch says that there's a tainis, l'tzadikim, on Tes Teves. He says, V'loya du'a masaydei. And Baruch Tam says, it's the day that Peter died, and it has a din of the tainis altmisas tzadikim. Is a tainus. And Rishonim explain why. By the way, the Sefer Hasidim says that he was a tzaddik, he was mechaben l'shem shemayim, and they say a fascinating reason. This when Isaiah Ish said that he was, you know, that the world, was he was masak in the world, etc., he says he had a lot of followers. He looked like a rav. He had a long beard and payas, etc., and they were afraid that many Jews would follow him. So he says the Rabbanim came to Peter. He was a great orator. He had a charisma. You see, he rose to the level of the first pope. And they said, we want to ask you to do something. An astonishing, astonishing Mesiras Nefesh. We want you to become, quote unquote, a Christian. And we want you to pervert the Yiddish guy, quote unquote, that Isaiah Ish was selling such that had no recognition of a religious Jew would not recognize it anymore. In other words, take it down a twisting journey far from where Yiddishkeit. This you'll accomplish something really great. And they say, what did he do? And the Machzeh Vitri brings that he locked himself in a room and he made a heartfelt tefillah, a wrenching cry. Imagine they asked somebody to leave Judaism, to leave Yiddishkeit, and they called it Nishmas. We'll put Olam Mar Mekaymus online. This was his cry when he left Yiddishkeit as a sacrifice. And what did he do? He became a Christian. He created that Shabbos by them. There's no more Shabbos. It's Sunday. That be Isaiah Ish. He made a Nevuah, and he wrote in his testament, in the Gospel of Peter, that all the mitzvahs aren't shayach to the Christians anymore, because he turned it into a religion that no Jew would look at it and say it's Yiddishkeit. So what did he do, basically? Lazazel. He went Lazazel. He went Achatas Lazazel on the dark side of the moon. Many times, sometimes, occasionally, you could accomplish things that you would never accomplish elsewhere. You know, by Hara Carmel, Yo and the Hara Carmel, it says he told the Nevi Habal, you take a carbon, and I will. And the power that I take, if an Eish comes min a Shemayim and it lands on it and it consumes it, then you know Hashem will like him. And if it lands on yours, then the Baal will be correct. So he took the parim and he sent some to the Baal and some. So it's Chazal say one of them came running over to Elio and it wept. It said, I grew up, I was raised in the same field as them. We ate the same food. He says, in the same anger, he says, why am I being sent to Baal? And Elio tells him, according to Chazal, this is your mission. The Rabbeinu Shalom sent you on this mission to become a carbon l'Nevi'ei Habal, to show that Hashem hu elikim, and he does not listen to their tefillas and their karbonis. Gemara says, Noshim, mi noshim tevoirach, goes on Yal, greater than the Mois. What did she do? To save Klal Yisrael, she was nival to Sisra 7 times, then she exhausted him, put a peg through his heart. So Gemara says, why mi noshim tevoirach? Why is she greater than the Mois? And they say, because lulei her, if it weren't for her, the Gemara says, there would be nothing left of the Mois. Klal Yisrael would have been destroyed. We had a father on our program who had a daughter who became a drug addict. And he spoke about how he went with his daughter when she bought the drugs. He followed her. He went with her. He said, whatever you do, I want to stay with you so that you have a relationship to the family, to the Rabbeinu Shalom, to Yiddishkeit, through my love. There are parents, we've had spoken to parents who went to the chasanis of their children who were marrying really very far away. They said, the only way we can keep this child in the bosom, in our bosom, and is with our love, by walking on the dark side of the moon. So if sometimes life takes you to the dark side, and you end up in places you never thought you would be, like the Miri says, the Soir Azazel is also Lachatas Lashem, and like the Rambam writes, it can often be holier. So all sometimes if you find yourself on a dark path, you are then also a carbon. Remember that during some of your struggles. That's the story of the Soir Azazel. Let me share with you two people I met who exemplify this carbon. Rabbi Avi Fishoff, his organization is called Twisted Parenting. Sounds difficult. He has 500 young people in his program. They're all OTD. Many have life-threatening addictions. Is it synthetic opioids? Fluorophenitol? U-4770, heroin? Rabbi Avi is an expert in dealing with these souls. What does the Pasuk say? V'shilach b'yad ish iti hamidbara. What does Rashbam say? Habaki nish iti, habaki b'drachem elu. An expert in these paths, these tortuous paths, u'b'midbaris. V'regilim b'chaleis, ready at any moment to march through these twisting, circuitous paths. This is Rabbi Avi Fishoff. Trust me. When you do this, you're doing it l'shem shamayim. Nobody gets shlishi v'shishi for saving these souls. When I was in Bologna a number of years ago, it has the oldest university in the world from the 1100s, 11th century. I don't think they know that 1,000 years before that, we already had Suram Pompidisa. When I was in the city, I asked, are there any Jews here? I was given the name and address of Rebbe Leo Borenstein, a Chabad shliach. I was astounded to see a man wearing the Shmoyne Begadim. He looked like he had just walked out of the Kodesh Panima. He told me he had been there for 50 years. I asked him, but what do you do about Minyanim? He said, I have a Minyan, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and occasionally during the year. He said to me, do you know how many Shamas you can touch over here? Youngsters who come to study in this university, I am their only connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, Rabbi Fishoff, Rabbi Borenstein, they marched through Samuel's turf. The four corners of the heaven and earth, trying to pry from the Sitra Achra's bony custody. The children of you and me, I salute you both. Chatas Lashem.
Here is the riddle of the week. And we're going to give the first three people who answer this correctly, we'll give one of the headlines, the new headlines, headlines three. It says in the parasha famously, Lifnei Iver Leisita En Michshol, Perek Yud Tes Pasuk Yud Aleph. Here's a pella. Lifnei Iver Leisita En Michshol. The Torah is full of the opposite of that. We have the whole parasha of Shvois. You have a Moide B'miktas. You lend somebody money. He only pays you back half, he denies the rest, or a quarter, or even a penny. So you bring him to Beis Din, and you mashbia him, and you know that he's lying if he takes the shvua. Could you think of a greater, you know, lifnei iver than having somebody make a shvua with Nikitas Chefetz on a sefer Torah that you know is sheker? Or shvuas eidus, all the other shvuas that midaraisa. So the pella is, why isn't there a din of lifnei iver? Are you going to say, look, I have to protect my money, so I'll be able of neighbor. What does the Ramah say? It's in two places in Yeridei, in Kufn and Zion, or Chaim Tov Rish and Vav. He says not to be over on a Issa Darais Alav. The Allah is a person has to give up Kol Mamayne. So it's true, you're going to lose money. But how could you be over the Lav of Lifnei Iver Loisitein Michshol in all these cases? That is our riddle of the week. The first three winners we'll send the headlines three. And now to our guests.
Joining us from Flatbush is Rabbi Baruch Steinfeld. He's the Rav of Dover Tov. He's a Talmud of Tarvadas. He learned by my old Chavrusa, Rabbi Sharieli. He's a Musmach from Rav Belsky and Rav Palm. For the last 20 years, he's been a Rav in Kashrus. Welcome, Rav Baruch.
Thank you.
So the last few years, people who even keep the second half, in other words, they start Sfira on Rosh Chodesh and they go till the end, started making chasanas. And I think one of the reasons they say is they just can't get haul. That's when they can get a haul. So what's the makar for it? Is it mutta, et cetera?
All right, so it's a tough question to ask. Moshe was asked about this, but he was asked more in terms of a guest who's invited to a chasana, where he holds, let's say, the first half, and he goes to the second half for a wedding, or vice versa. A guest that holds the second half and he's invited for, you know, either invited to the first half and he holds the second half, or vice versa, if he can participate. So Moshe said, yeah, and it will not disturb his, he doesn't have to change his minig, and so on and so forth. We see in Mishnah Berurah L'maaseh that it says that you can pick and choose every year a different half, and you don't need to stick with one. This is one of the things you don't even have to be matan neder. So the Olam, for some reason, took and made a cool out of it and went the extra step, and even if you're the Baal Simcha, you're going to go and make the chasana, like you said, because there's a problem with holes and so on and so forth. So they make the chasana, even when they would normally hold the first half, they would make the chasana between Pesach and Chedesh Iyah, and vice versa, the same thing. Lamaisa, it's very difficult to understand what the heta would be for it. Sfira, we find that we say Avarachnim in Vemusaf, despite the fact, even when you venture Shchedesh where all year long we wouldn't say Avarachman, because Sfira is dedicated for the Redifus of what Klal Yisrael went through, and in addition to the Talmidei Rav Akiva, for many years, it wasn't just one year where they all died out, for many years we mark the mourning of the losing of all these Talmidim, the 24,000 Talmidim of Rav Akiva. It's hard to understand why people are Mekel.
I would just say that even the Mishnah Berurah, who's Mekel, says you could change your minig and say, this year I'm going to start on right after Pesach, and I'm going to continue all the way to Lag BaOmer. But you have people, they keep the minig of Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and then they make in the second half. So that is the Mechaber already says, you can't schlep from Beit Zeiten. L'chayru, somebody who does that, he's an Amoritz, he didn't make the Cheshbin, L'chayru, there's no heter for it. Is that fair to say?
Right. I thought you were asking the other way, and I'll be matzdik, that most people, at least, let's say, I had a neighbor of mine who made a chasna on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, or the day before Rosh Chodesh Iyar, so he usually held the first half. This year he held the second half, so he switched.
Yeah, but that you could do according to the pay scheme. You could change. But I'm
right.
Asking you, somebody who started
sure
on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and
right.
He's supposed to keep
that's
till the
sure
end, but he does it after Lag BaOmer. There should be no heter, am I right?
Yeah, but I want to back up the truck a little bit. I want to tie in that maybe if you're making a simcha, you can't switch it, especially since all your relatives and everybody holds the same. You're the only one that's changing your minig. So what you're doing basically is you're saying, okay, this year I'll hold the second half. And meanwhile, all the relatives, since they hold the first half, including his children, let's say, or the chassan's brothers and sisters and relatives, they'll all come to the wedding because of us nish, we have a heta. And then keep taka only the first half. That would be problematic.
Well, I'm not sure why. I mean, they're allowed to come. These people are allowed to come once he's allowed to
correct
make the simcha.
Yeah,
you know, what's wrong with that?
The question is he allowed to make the simcha and cause everybody who is a shtikl chukhul et lula, because he just knocked out 2 weeks worth of sfira, because at Lag BaOmer these guys will be right back, you know, doing their minig, and he knows they're going to do that, but he still makes the wedding.
He's allowed to do it, and there are a lot of come. And the Ramosha
right,
brings the riot, and there are a lot of come.
Right. Correct. But he's allowed to do it mitzad himself. I don't know if he's allowed to do it to make a wedding and cause his whole family not to keep sfira because of it.
No, if it's Shulchan Aruch, it's Ein Manish, and I say, so that's the halacha.
Understood, Ein Manish, but really, really takes away from the whole spirit. Now, I know we paskan alochik divra meko be avelus, but not when it comes to avelus of tzibur, which is funny. It's ironic. When it comes to the 9 days, everyone is looking for kulis, and it's avelus of tzibur. When it comes to private avelus, rachmon and son, when people come, they'll never take any of these heterim if, let's say, chas v'shalom, they lose a loved one.
Okay, yeah. Let me ask you another question. The Magen Avraham is seemingly the Makayer that you're not allowed to make Rikudim and Mechailis during Sfira, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we can't find the Makayer for the Magen Avraham. Like, do you have any idea, like, where it would come from?
No, I mean, there's a lot of misconceptions with Sfira also, I mean, which they took on. For instance, people have the minig not to buy new clothing, which Bruce says you probably could. The Magen Avraham could have, you know, felt that it's like it was a zman that he had to be, like we find the Gemara many times when Rav was goyder a peretz, where people were making something, and he felt that Sfira came to Rikudim and Mechailis, so he felt that that would take away from the public avelis that we do for the Zamidir Akiva, so he probably came up with, I don't think it's in the Rishayim B'Shrona.
I mean, it's certainly correct. In other words, if these are days of Avelis, so in Hilchos Avelis, there's no music. But it's interesting that the Magen Avraham lived...
You can still buy new clothing.
I'm saying, the Magen Avraham lived 350 years ago, and there's not a word of this, not in the Gemara, which brings the din of the Talmidei Rebbe Akiva as the Makar for that, not in the Goyinim, not in the Rishayim. It's interesting that all of them weren't margished as dina, you know, that the rest of the dinim of Elis Achal and Yimei Sfira, and the Magen Avraham, who's relatively much closer to us, seems to be mechadished this, but the world accepted it.
Seems that way, and Mishavur accepted it.
Yes, I'm saying the world. Now, here's another interesting thing. The Magen Avraham says you can't make Rikudim a Mechailis. He doesn't say anything about music. There is maybe
music
when nobody's dancing, would be Mutter.
Right, so music is a relatively new phenomenon. And as it is, if you learn the halachas, you see that music might not be mutter b'chlal, because of the churban. I know a Rav, which I'm not going to tell you his name because I don't think he would want it to be known, who doesn't listen to music the whole entire year, only by a chasra, or by, let's say, by a siyam, as a Moshe has in his tshuva. Because it's the halachas Rav says, you're not allowed to have any music since the churban Beis HaMikdash. Does that refer to our music cassette CD? MP3s? Probably not. But Lemaisa, I don't think the Achronim even deal with music, because music is not even on their radar. Because it was either a chasra, or they didn't have music in those days. If someone took out an instrument and played live instruments, that's anyway asa.
Well, it's only if I haven't learned this in a while, but isn't it only if it's a makam achila?
There's two dinim. There's one, the makam achila, right, like you said, in a bar. Then there's another concept of, since the churban, not to listen to music, live music, the chwal. Unless it's a partial simcha.
Even shalai b'makam achila. I honestly don't even know that halacha. Even shalai.
Yes.
Okay.
Ramosha brings down the tshuva. And he brings it down. He was mocked not to listen to even cassette.
Well, in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, they don't. They're shalayim, they don't, even by the chassanis, they don't play music, they just have the drums.
Right, that's an old...
But I'm saying, there are people who are made that way, besides the Rav you mentioned.
The mucker of that is, the mucker of that drums, I think, is something happened. I don't remember what it was, and only in shalayim they accepted it upon themselves, not in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. It was some sort of maaseh shehayah. I'm not sure, I don't remember offhand now what it is, but it's not because of the churban per se.
Okay, so when did live music... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead,
So when did live music, when did they ask...
When did they ask for live music?
On Sfira, yeah.
It seems like that's mamish. They learned it out, basically, because anything that causes you to do Rikudim and Mechailis, that can bring you to do that, they said you're not allowed to do on Sfira. So it stands to reason that music... brings you, that might bring you to dance. That's what Shavua teaches it up.
I know, but don't we have a klal that something that's even a gzeira drabanan, we're not moisef on more than they made. For example, we just finished Pesach, so Ramosha was asked, you know, peanut oil, can you eat peanuts? He says, listen, these are all gzeiras, and we're not moisef onto these types of, you know, we don't make gzeiras like gzeiras, sort of. So I'm saying the whole concept here of not rikudim is a Magen Avraham. So now onto the Magen Avraham, we're adding that you can't have music, maybe you'll come to the rikudim of the mechailas of the Magen Avraham. Isn't that very mechadish?
It is a mechadish, but we could kind of, like we say in a lot of places, kulichad gzeiri, that's what the Ramah meant. I mean, I'm sorry, the Magen Avraham meant with the Rikudim and Mechailis. That included in that is anything that might bring you to dance or sing.
Except he doesn't bring that.
because in his days there wasn't live music.
What do you mean there wasn't live? The David HaMelech, Amatzeach Beneginos Mizmer Shir, they had live music in the time of David HaMelech.
Why didn't they have in the time of Bagan Avram? But not played on a day-to-day basis. People didn't have live music in their home sitting there and playing music. That wasn't even, it didn't come into the, you know, lexica. You don't see it in Achrayna B'chwal, live music, till mamish late, because people have now recordings and people have the, well, sure, we live in America where there's a lot of capabilities of even people having pianos in their houses.
So you're saying that this is part of the Oseg Zera of the Magen Avraham. So then what about, would tape music be the same thing then? Would a cappella be the same thing? Like, why not?
Oh, so Rav Belsky told me that a cappella, it really depends. When you're sitting there listening to Kumsitz music, which makes you sad, makes you yearn for the Beis HaMikdash, that's one thing. But I sat in someone's car the other day and he had a cappella music playing there, and I started shaking to it. So when you start shaking to music,
most singing that happens, and there's no music there. People are singing, right. And that's why they do their rekudim.
And it's interesting, there is an achrana too that say that you should not sing during the week music which might make you dance. And even by a vart, right? You know, like when you sit by a Shabbos Sheva Brachas and then they get up to dance, and some dance, some don't dance. Some just walk the circle. So that's that gray area, what's called dancing and what's not. If you're going to talk and sing with your mouth a song that might make you dance, Mistama the Magen Avraham will say you shouldn't sing that song.
So the whole concept that a cappella is mutter during Sfiras Omer, I mean, it's hard if we're saying that this is the gzeira of the Magen Avraham, and the Magen Avraham probably had more a cappellas than live instruments, it's hard really to be mechalek between taped music, a cappella, and live music. Anything that would bring you to dance, l'chayra, should be yasa. Once we accept that we're extending, the Magen Avraham into all these areas.
Especially when the cappella sounds like live music instruments, which most of them do. Like, people have the keches to make it sound like a drum and slash different instruments that you mamish almost can't tell the difference.
So let's talk about now shaving during Sfira. The Shulchan Aruch by Tisha B'Av writes, Asal Estaper Sar and any place, the Kol Sar Shebegufay. Whereas by Sfira, all he brings is Loyla Estaper Reishay. So what about shaving? Okay. Would that be mutter or not?
Other than the mustache, we hold it, the minig is that it's usher.
Even though the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say. The Shulchan Aruch here says, Nagu Shaloyla Stapir. And by Tisha B'Av says, Shaloyla Stapir Saroshay V'Sar Kol Gufay. And here he omits Sar Kol Gufay. Even so, we're still naig to be
correct. And this is really also negated, Marshall. For Nashim, it won't be Negei. It will be Negei more in the 3 weeks to be Lestata Kol Gufay, whereas I think that the Kol Gufay is more referring to other haircuts, not just the beard. Again, the beard, they didn't cut that much in those days, and they might have trimmed it, and if it disturbs the eating, we possibly allow to do it. Even in the Shiva person, there's a lot of cut mustache. So I'm not so sure that, I mean, the Mishnah Berurah Maisa, in his times, they shaved, but in the previous generations, they may not have shaved.
I mean, the Gemara already talks about being the stopper, it goes back way before the Tzemach Tzedek has tshuvas and tshuvas about shaving, so this goes way pre the Magga.
Correct, but I don't know, again, for Sfira, I don't know how far they took it. Like you said, Sfira is a thing which they accepted upon only, you know, it seems like from the Achrayim that it's a gradual acceptance of all these Avelis, different things. Insofar as I saw a tshuva, someone asking if you're allowed to go swimming during Sfira. And Lamaisa would say, yeah, of course, but someone had a havmi, you shouldn't go swimming because it's like in the 3 weeks, in the 9 days, they tell you can't swim, it's dangerous, and so on and so forth. They got to be extra careful. So the question is Sfira a zman where people are more, the mazel is a shtickle ra for B'nai Yisrael or not? So that you can clear if that's the reason why maybe one would not be allowed to shave and do all these other things, because it's a zman where it's more Reya Mazle than anything else.
So here's the question, Robert. Is the Avelus of Sfira Daima to the Avelus of Shavua, the Zayin Yamim of after Ptira? Is it the Sfira of Shloisha? Is it the Avelus of Shloishim? Or is it the Avelus of Yud Beis Chodesh?
Probably none, because you're allowed to buy new clothing. That shows you already that it's not the same Avelis as a private Avelis. But as a Tzibur de Gavelis, I think the way our Achronim picked and chose what things to practice was more public Avelis than private Avelis. Chasenis. And like you said, shaving a beard or not shaving a beard, which is an outside appearance. Buying yourself a new shirt or new pants, that's a simcha pnimis, that's your own simcha. That they weren't makpid on. But when it came to outside, it's a zman where Kali Yisrael have to remember what we lost. And it's a zman that, we have to really do tshuva, especially on Sinas Chinam. We just had it in the daf. The daf discussed of how Sinas Chinam brought down the second base of English, which is the equivalent of the big three Avelis. So Kal V'chaymer, where we had 24,000 Tamidim, Shleinagu Kovet Zelazer, that this is what we have to work on, and this is a reminder for us to work on this, is doing the outward Avelis things, which... In the case of live music, in the case of dancing and all these things, which is clapping one to the other, it's more of a reminder rather than Chazal saying you have to be sad and do all the hilchos avelos that one would have to do for losing a loved one.
So it seems it's certainly not more chamer than Yud Beis Chodesh. Is that fair to say?
No, it's definitely not.
So here's my question. Many people, let's say, who go to work, etc., they're makbid not to shave during the shleishim. But between the Shleishim and the Yud Beis Chodesh, they do shave. Those people who do shave between the Shleishim and the Yud Beis Chodesh, would they be able to shave during Sfira for the same reason?
Probably. Again, the shaving, as it is for, there's plenty of attention to shave if you have a business meeting and other stuff where you're not shaving with Tzarech HaSimcha. You're shaving more for, that you have to... coexist with your coworkers or whatever it is, then, that would be mutter. But, of course, now you're saying that people don't shave the shloshim. That's only for parents, obviously.
Yeah.
Right, a brother, a sister, chas v'shalom, and yep. Something. So there's obviously different levels of what people fear zech with avelus. And when it comes to people fearing zech avelus for private things, you can't bring a riot to Sfira or the 9 days or the 3 weeks.
Okay. Now, the Mishnah Berurah in Tafsad Gimel says, it seems to have said that you don't make a Shachiyanu if you could avoid it. He says, in this Damenloi, if it happened to you, then Sarach Levarach Shachiyanu. But it would seem that it's certainly not a Lachatzilah from the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah. In other words, he says, Ein Roy Laharbis Mesemcha. But in this Damenloi, so wouldn't that seem to imply that you shouldn't buy a new suit because now it's not in this Damenloi anymore, but you're doing a Maisa V'Yadayim to cause Simcha? Or, for that matter, anything else that you can make a Shachiyanu on. Wouldn't that appear to be the das of the Mishnah Berurah?
Or we could say the other way around. Nizdamala means if you had a need for it. In other words, if I need that new suit, we say, look, if you're going to go shopping for new suits because you're going to have a simcha coming up in 4 months from now, don't go now, shop for the suits. But if you need a new suit, you can buy it. Nizdamala means you have the need to have a new suit. So in that case,
doesn't Mizdamalai mean if it occurred that this happened to you, wouldn't that be more?
Or it occurred that you had that need. I mean, it just doesn't happen. I mean, any Shachiyanu doesn't just happen. It has to be something that you have to go out and buy that new fruit. No new fruit.
No, there are people who make a Shachiyanu for a child. There are people who make, people say a Shachiyanu, they meet somebody, according to the Shulchan Aruch, they haven't seen in Lamed Yayim. It could be Mizdamalai. So you do have fewer,
sure
that could actually be
Mizdamalai. I'm not sure that would be included that in the halacha. I think kulan would be made that I can go visit someone I didn't see for 30 days and make myself be mechayev to say a shachiyanu. That's not the shachiyanu that the Mishnah Berurah is talking about.
What are you basing that on?
That's my heritage. I don't have, there's very little to go by. I'll have to look into it. But based on the on what I heard from my Rebbeim and so on and so forth, which most hold you can buy a new clothing if you need it. Not you shouldn't be buying stamas of it. Let's say your suits are all ripped or whatever it is and you need a new suit, you can go buy it. Even if you're going to make a Shafiano, they hold that's not called being over. That's called Mizdamenloi.
Okay. Are there any other, halachas in Sfira that you would like to point out that we haven't discussed?
No, the only thing that we really should work on is that people are trying to find heterim constantly to get out of having to do Sfira properly. People are listening to a cappella music, which really is taking away the whole hashkaf of it. people will run to chasanas and run to different places where they're looking for that heter. Oh, I can listen to music because I went to this and this wedding. And really, just like by the 9 days, they make you human. You're really not supposed to go to see them unless you're part of the inner core. I feel the same thing would apply to chasanas during Sfira. That if you are integral and the chasan or the kala or the father of the chasan or the mother of the chasan feel like you have to be there, they'd be offended if you're not there, mela. But it's time to look for chasanas because my second cousin, once removed three times over, is getting married. There is no inyan for you to run to that wedding and say, well, I have a heter because he made a wedding and I can be mesameach chasan b'kala.
There's a lot of halachas that we could find the Teirim through and really be mevatel, big halakim of the Torah. And you're saying that that's not the purpose. We're supposed to, that's our goal is
that we have to feel something missing in our life. And that's our avodah during Sfira, which we find that unfortunately people don't understand that and they walk away. They shave for work. They end up going to business meetings and they end up doing everything they have to do, which is fine. But then there's nothing reminding them that they're in Sfira other than the fact that they're counting Sfira at night, which really has nothing to do with Avelis of Sfira, Haraya. Even after Lag BaOmer, where you can do Simcha, we're still counting Sfira.
Yeah.
But that Avelis we don't have unless you actively look and to set yourself together saying, this is Sfira, I'm doing something different. And remind yourself on a day-to-day basis, this is what I have to work on.
Well, Rabbeira, thank you very much. We're an honor to speak to you.
Thank you, Kol Tov.
Joining us from Yerushalayim is Rabbi Yitzchak Pindrus. He's the chairman of Yadnas HaTorah, which is the party that represents both the Litvish and the Chassidish of Bnei Torah. He was a Talmud of Rav Zilberman in the Old City. He learned to the mayor by Rabbi Shariyeli. He used to be deputy mayor in Beitar, then he became the mayor in Beitar, then the vice mayor in Yerushalayim, and I believe he's been in the Yadnas HaTorah now representing the Fruma, basically the Chassidim and Litvaks, for the last 2 years. It's an honor to have you on. Welcome, Rabbi Yitzchak.
It's an honor to be on your podcast.
So, it's like one of the hot topics this year is Chil Shabbos. In other words, the Poskim say, basically based on the Ramah in, I believe it's Reish Mem Dalet, where he talks about being Maflig B'Sfina, that we're not supposed to be Goyrim another Yid to be Mechal Shabbos. It's a Shaila of Lifnei Iver. Even if it's not Lifnei Iver, which it should be Lifnei Iver because it's Trever, they wouldn't be there if it weren't for us. There's a Shaila Mesayel of Dvar Aveira. Have you researched this and what's your opinion on it?
I'm saying generally, if you're talking about the next Shabbos in the Meron, the question came up over here in the years that Lag BaOmer was Motzei Shabbos, because then the police and everybody get prepared on Shabbos afternoon for the Adloka Lil Shabbos, and then the Vianna Rebbe Shlita started that Adloka later. There was asking by the Rabbanim to come later to Meron for to stop that Chil Shabbos. This year that it's on Friday, the question is a lot less relevant. If so, people are going to damage to stupid things, so they could be Gurim the Chil Shabbos. But most of the event is, of course, the night beforehand. And people are not supposed to be leaving, of course, at Friday afternoon for a distance. It's halacha in Shulchan Aruch anyhow that you don't leave on Friday afternoon. The rapport will be here that you talk about once again and again to stop people from leaving on a Friday afternoon walk. And people have to understand on their own. They'll get into trouble because one small traffic and they'll be stuck on some highway for Kiddush for Lail Shabbos. So if people are going to act normal, there's no reason like when we just year should create any Chil Shabbos, not of a policeman or any other people.
Okay. Rabbi Yitzchak, Corona. Last year I heard there were 100 people in Meron. My son-in-law goes every year. His father is Rav Goldzicht from America. You may know him. But he goes literally every year. He stands next to him. Yeah, he said there were 100 people last year because of Corona. Being that there are going to be, I don't know, 100,000 kids there who weren't vaccinated under the age of 16, is that something that you are concerned about?
In generally, we had a meeting with the Prime Minister on Monday, Yadnas HaTorah, regarding the thing in Iran. In generally, in Eretz Yisrael, people maybe don't know, but it's Mamish and Nace. In Eretz Yisrael, Poshet, right now, how it looks like, we got out of the whole situation. Things are open regularly. Everything cannot is functioning regularly, because 60% of the population are vaccinated. Large percent of the children had it, but when you're talking about 100,000 people, and there'll probably be more in Iran this year, and you're talking about in 24 hours, and not everybody in the same hour together. So if you take most of the people that are vaccinated, and you're going to put it out through the hours of the day, and like we spoke before, some people are going to be careful not to come because of Shabbos, or going to come earlier and leave earlier because of Shabbos. Hopefully, and it's an outside, it's not an inside event, even the people that are in charge of the medical departments and everything don't think that that's going to do any damage. And we see, I mean, the Havdil, El Favdil, is the Arabs and Arabis go up 100,000 every Friday, and they go on in one time 100,000, and Baruch Hashem, over there, whatever that, it should come to Yidin Chaz V'Shalom, but still, it doesn't look like there's any things have to be done. They're going to try to do around the Tzion Mavish to go into that area, only people that were vaccinated.
I misspoke. In other words, I was going to say there are 100,000 children who haven't been vaccinated. I understand it's close to 500,000 people who show up. I mean, that's what I've been told anyway.
Yeah, but like I said, first of all, there's probably going to be less than 500,000. But still, like I said, the children are going to come in one time. They're going to be all together, and you have most of the people that are vaccinated.
So here's a question. I've heard that there are some years as many as 500,000 people show up. So it's the single largest kinus of Klal Yisrael in the world. And I understand that many friars come. Is there any way to make it at a time where, you know, Talmidei Rebbe Akiva, Mesu Shalei Nogu Kavod Zeh B'Zeh, is there any way to use this kinus to create a bonding, show that the Frumen and Friar could get along, that it's an opportunity to show Achdus in Klal Yisrael? Is there any way to use it as a time of healing, as a time of coming together?
I think, first of all, what you're asking and you're saying is firstly true as a fact. Everybody comes in Friar, Frumen, Kamat, Boimer, not anybody, but a large amount of people, like you said, 500,000 people. I believe this year will be less, and not because of the corona, because it's Friday, like I said before, but yes, people come. And yes, it is a big Kiddush Hashem, and the Friars feel very comfortable when they come there. Just to make a point, in Eretz Yisrael, you have over 1 million people, not from officially, that come to say Slichas at the Kaisel on Chodesh Elul and Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And the starting start is saying Slichas Rosh Chodesh Elul, and you see the same thing of people without yarmulkes, people that don't look like dressed up like the Sakal girls, and come down to the Kaisel to say Slichas. They put in a yarmulke when they walk into the Kaisel. And that's a thing that's been seen in Eretz Yisrael. It's part of the reason people maybe don't know if the political problems in Eretz Yisrael, because the anti-religious can't see it, that you have such a large amount of Friar people that identify with Ruchnius, like you said before, in Miron, and like I said at the Kaisel, and things like that, that it is a Maimat Kiddush Hashem. The Friar over there feel very, very comfortable. It even brought that something that the first time happened in the last elections, that Netanyahu, which is it from, came to Miron and lit a candle and came in and said a tefillah in Shiloh's Kever, because he understood that's going to help him in the elections in his crowd, and not only in Yad HaSatera and Shas crowd.
Curious, Rabbi Yitzchak, I was in Eretz Yisrael for probably 6 years, and I never went to Meiron. Have you been there during Lag BaOmer?
First of all, I was there. I can't say I'm a machmer that I went every year Lag BaOmer, but yes, I was there a couple times Lag BaOmer. 2 years ago, last year I could go. 2 years ago, I was at the first Tadloka at night. Most of the times I used to come in Motzei Lag BaOmer in the end of the day, in the afternoon, before the skier. And not all the years, but I can't say I'm not fit to be there every Lag BaOmer, but yes, I try to get there. And I was there a couple of times. It is a thing that you don't see every day, and it's a feeling that you don't feel every day. Like you said before, hundreds of thousands of Jews come from all over, from all types, and are being disparaged. Yeshua Sassarel, that's something that's unusual.
So here's a question. There's another big kinus in Uman, and there it gets, and I'm taking an opinion here, which many people may not agree with, it gets a little out of hand. Is Lag BaOmer in by Miron more controlled matzav? And if so, why is that? How do they keep that?
Yeah. The government, the truth is, for the last at least 10, 15 years that I remember. The government puts in a lot of effort. We still complain like Jews that it's not enough, but a lot of effort of the Seder here, outside here, there's the Vadat HaMishah, which is called the five people of the Committee of Miron, with the Rav de Kaisel, there's Rav Rabinovich, there's Rav Schwinger of Mekomot HaKdoshim that does work for, I would say, for months beforehand to get it all organized. There's Chazokas over there. Things are really, generally, a lot of effort to have it organized, and ways, pathways, going in, parking lot, asking people to come with public transportation and fixing it up. And we're talking about numbers, like you said before. You know, the largest numbers in Uman, we're talking about at least 10, 15 times as much. You're talking about 500,000 people. And it's totally different. There's always, I would say, problems with transportation and things like that. And not enough buses, always not enough that. But every year it's getting better. And there's a lot of effort putting out that it should be organized. I don't know if you were in Iran the last couple of years. They fixed up the place. Like I said before, it still wanted to be done, but they fixed up the place a lot. It looks a lot better than it used to look like. The parking lot, the pathways, the getting in, the cleaning, the fixing up. There's a lot of effort putting out by Merkaz HaMekumot HaKdoshim and Misad HaDatot, and of course the Vadat HaChamisha.
Okay, I want to switch to a little bit more current events in Eretz Yisrael. The Yom HaShoah, there's a lot of debate. A lot of people in the Frumma world say it shouldn't be celebrated. A lot of people believe it should be celebrated. And celebrated is the wrong word. It should be kept because there isn't really no other Yom HaZikaron expressly for the people who are killed in the Holocaust. And notwithstanding that Tisha B'Av is supposed to cover all the tzaras of Klal Yisrael, but still, some people think it's a beautiful thing. Some people don't. We would love to hear your opinion.
You know, if you would ask me about other days, it's a lot more complicated answer. Yom HaShoah, even the Mizrahi world, the official rabbinate over here, did not agree to take that day as a day. First of all, because of the day it's happening. First of all, Chodesh Nisan, you don't do Yom HaShoah Chodesh Nisan. The reason is because of the what happened in the Warsaw Ghetto with the rebelling over there, which I don't think that, of course, us as like just that. Is a symbol of the Shoah, of the Holocaust, right? You have a lot of symbols. You're talking about 6 million people that were killed. You're talking about things that happened. Each story is over there big, so the timing is for sure not the right timing. That's first of all. So even the Mizrahi world in Eretz Yisrael doesn't play part in that. They're having to try to do the Sarabatevas here, but Kaddish HaKlali do other times, but not in Yom HaShoah, which happens in this. That's in generally. And yes, the film world, because of the debate with the Zionist world, the idea that you could have a state without terror, doesn't agree to be part of their ceremonies.
So I just would like to comment about the Nissan part. It's true that Nissan, you know, you're not supposed to, we don't say Tachnun, etc. But on the other hand, post-Pesach, right, according to Rama brings two opinions, I personally start the Avelus of Sphira right after Pesach. So I don't shave, I don't listen to music, no
Chatzis. You do say because there's something happening, but there's nothing that happened in that day.
I agree with you. I'm just showing a point.
You don't do it on a day that the time that you're not Kivei Atanesim. We do Be'ab, we start Be'ab here, right? That we all Ashkenazim start Be'ab here. Even the Ashkenazim that don't shave and don't take haircuts and don't make consciousness like most people that have an ancestral do. But they don't do even a Be'ab of a Tainis on that. So to make Yom HaShoah, and where the reason is it was the day that the Warsaw Ghetto fell, I mean, that's.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out that they are days of Avelus, but we're not Kaveh Tainus, notwithstanding.
Yeah,
so if you're from an Eretz Yisrael, notwithstanding the disagreement, should we stand up by the siren? Should we make a barbecue? Like, how should we treat it, even though we disagree?
Of course, not walk around in a siren is a mechalel shem shomayim. Okay, a normal Frumma Yid would make sure not to be in the street at that time because it's not a meaning that was it's shelter chazal to stand at a siren. But of course, you're doing a chil, not only a chil Hashem, it's stabbed after l'recho kaboicha because you could be walking down and right by you is a Yosef that's father was killed in the army or a brother is killed in the army and he thinks that you're against him and against his brother and go explain to him what chukos agoyim and what the human neshama means, and he doesn't even know what you want, and he looks at it, mamish is the rishis that you're doing. I mean, it's a terrible chil Hashem for a person to walk around on the side, and the person that doesn't want to stay, of course, has to be, he should sit at home or sit in the smedrish and sit where he doesn't have to walk around public in the middle of the street. And for sure, not making a barbecue, you don't see at all. You see the journalists looking all around the country, and they screen the country, and they find maybe one or two people that are doing a barbecue, and they put it on the evidence. So it's a terrible coalition. There's no reason to do something like that.
So we disagree with them, Beshita, but we respect.
We have, if you have a soldier that fell in a war or a battle, you have a curse offense to the soldier that went out to the army, okay? We don't go with our children to the army. We don't send our children to the army. That's something that, you know, you have to be immense.
Agreed. Can I, again, I'm going to ask you a political question. We've seen a lot in the press about, you know, sort of machlekes in a certain yeshiva with shtenders throwing and screaming, etc. And many of us, this is what a questioner asked me, he said, is there a disconnect in certain parts of the yeshiva world that during the time that Talmidei Rebbe Akiva Mesu Shalei Nagu Kavod Zebezeh, we seem to see that going on right now? Isn't that painful?
I don't think there's anyone, okay, in the world, that no matter what side you are, that it doesn't feel painful about what we're seeing the last days of the Indonesia. And really, and I'm saying from every side, wherever side you are, I mean, it's something that shouldn't be seen. It's a matter of some in the service and have standards throwing. And of course, each side tries to say the other side did it, but it's something that there's no way that I could even give any, words of sanigoria on a scene like that. That's something that no one could see.
I agree with you. It's mostly, I guess, you know, Shababnikim. There's something wrong in the chinuch, I would guess.
There's a problem when people get into and they try to put in ruchnius in a fight, and each or every side tries to put ruchnius in a side, but there's nothing. There's no excuse for scenes like that.
Okay, let me ask you a last question that was sent in to me. The Fruma population in Eretz Yisrael is Kanainahara growing at a really a beautiful, you know, pace, and yeshivas are being opened every day, and ukulelim every single day, and yet our political parties seem to be shrinking. Like, I believe, you know, Gimel got less votes this time than last time. So it's like a shtickle of stira, and we don't understand it. Could you maybe explain it?
First of all, it's not shrinking. We have to remember, and I'm going to maybe start generally before talking politically. In general, over the age of 75 in Eretz Yisrael, the Haredi community is 2% of the population. Under the age of 10, they're 20% of the population. And to be honest, for the last 30 years, each election, we grow in the percentage that we grow in the population, and sometimes more. And it's only twice that we went down, and the numbers was the last time we went down in 20,000 votes from a year ago. And I think in 2006, there was also a number going down, shrinking a little bit. 2003, I don't remember exactly right now. This time we went down because there was a lot of people, the Shivish and Mizrahi community that voted for when they went together with Bennett, so they voted for Yad HaSatur, and a lot of Lubavitchers that didn't have another from party to vote. At this time, it happened two things. First of all, a lot of the Lubavitchers voted for Smotrich, and the Mizrahi Yeshivisha community had their own party by Smotrich, so they voted for Smotrich. That was the reason it went down. But in generally, just to remember, the last elections I remember were the Rosh Hashanah Ma'an Leib, which was very strong elections, and Ben Leib went from city to city. It was 206,000 votes. Last time we got 270 in these elections that we just finished, and we got 248. So we're for sure growing in the numbers. The actual numbers are growing. We grow actually a year in 10,000 votes. Those are the numbers. And like I said before, we had a problem this time that at least 20,000 voters that voted only for one time, because 2 years ago we also had 248, okay? Just to be specific, we're talking about elections that happened, four elections in 2 years. So 2 years ago we had 248, and last time we had again 248, and the reason is like what I said before.
Okay, it's like it's a little bit like a break-off minion takes some people away from the big show.
No, people that came to Danon because they didn't have another show. It's not a typical. It's people that came to Danon with us last year because they didn't have another show.
Rabbi Yitzhak, what can we do to create more harmony between the Fruma and the Fraya in Eretz Yisrael?
I want to say something that maybe we have to be honest with ourselves. What I started in the beginning, when you have a million non-Frum Jews coming to the Kaisel, okay? When you have, like we said before, let's say 100,000 non-Frum people come to, like, Bremer to Miron, okay? When you're having all around the year, almost 4 or 5 million people coming to the Kaisel, and of course, they're not all Frum. And people that are attached and people are Bali Tshuva all over, where not all of them become come into the community, start being Shomer Shabbos and started keeping mitzvahs. On the other hand, the Koyach HaTumah is growing. They're very jealous, very, very jealous of the Frum community growing. They were sure that those numbers, if we were 2% in 1948, like I said before, because of the 70, like I said, over the age of 75, and we see it today. And today we're 20% of the children. That's something that creates a big kin. And they're trying to fight it. They're trying to fight it in any way they can. From finding a Frum Jew making a barbecue, like I said, in one or two pictures in the Yom HaZikaron, until in the Corona, finding a shul that was open. Even 90% of the shuls were closed. So it's enough those 10% to find a shul that's open, or things like that. And these are things that are going to be going on as long as these people are jealous and they can't stand Israel becoming more from more traditional, more that those are things that are going to continue. It's not something that's going to be stopped because they can't stand it. Tel Aviv today, and again, even in Tel Aviv, there's a big tshuva movement. But the people that are not part of the tshuva movement are in a different world. They're becoming more far than they used to be, and they can see their colleagues from other cities, okay, and becoming more and more traditional, more and more from, and that's something that's going to continue. And it's a big part of the political issue in Etzisrael is around that. Because the Likud party is a lot closer to those people, like I said before. Those are the billion people that vote for the Likud. And the other parties, like Yesh Atid, the Russian Goyim, okay, you have 500,000 Russian Goyim over here, so don't forget. Those Russian Goyim don't feel a part of us, because they're not. They're Russian Kohen. And they feel that they don't have equal feeling, okay, of the regular from Israeli world. And so they have the Lieberman situation. And these are things that are going to continue as long as we're going to have that battle. Our way to do it is to bring more Yiddishkeit into all the towns and all the cities, and having those million people, 2 million people, and those 2 million, 3 million people. That's the only way to get it. It's not something that could be done with PR or with things that are not relevant. That's for sure. That every individual has to be careful. That I can't. We can't just say not every individual, not to do a chil Hashem. Things like I said before, because when you go out with a corona and you walk around without a mask, when everybody's terrified, that's something that shouldn't be done. When you're doing a barbecue and a Yom HaZikaron, that's something that is a chil Hashem, and you're going to chil Hashem. But to say that that's going to stop it, it's not.
Like the Ramban writes, Kol, I think his lashon is Kol Shen is Skadish Yosha and Echrav Yosha.
Yeah.
Well, Rabbi Yitzchak, it's been an honor to have you on. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Shukrach and Kol Tov.
Kol Tov, Agotya.
Joining us from Yerushalayim is Rabbi Yechiel Goldhaber. He was Reish Kol for 10 years in Degel Yerushalayim. He's printed 2 svarim in Hagei HaKehilei. He's a historian. He writes my marim that he sends around. Welcome, Rabbi Yechiel.
Shalom aleichem.
Rabbi Yechiel, what is the first mekoyer of Lag BaOmer?
He asked him the first source. So we're going back 800 years ago. That's a big finish. Doesn't have no shaykes with the Shimon, no shaykes with Iran. It's in Ashkenaz, the whole mekor of Lag BaOmer that we don't say Tachnu. Yes, that's the minigin. All Kehilas so we don't say Tachnu. Where does this? Where was this born? But we don't find a Yom Simcha. There's a big difference of not holding a velus than Yom Simcha. So we have in Shulchan Aruch the Ramah. The Ramah says that like Boima, you could shave your hair in Marvin Boy Ktas Simcha. And not only that, the Ein Oimim Boy Tach. The source of the Ramah is the Maril. The Maril was is the first source that we have. The Maril was lived in Magenta in the 14th century. What we don't have like remember before him.
Right.
Two different.
So where did the Maril get it from?
So I don't know. I don't know. In the Ramah it says like this: Umar bin Boktas Simcha. But if you look at that Gemara, this is Simon Tov Tzelik Dalit. He put in another word. Umarbim boy mista v'simcha. Another word, mista. The Marim says like this, and if it's Svira. Lag boimel, beshachis ein oimim tachnum. Ober im Agenze und Boramaise, beshachis ein oimim tachnum, ober im Agenze und Boramaise, they do say tach. Omar Mari, even if the Gemara says that Amir Habakir and Mesum from Pesach to Shuris, Mikol Mokoim Oisim Beyem Lag boimel, Yoim Simcha. Why? Because they died only in the days that we say Tachnu. Now we're going to the second source in the Maril. It's a new sefer that's called Tshuvas Maril HaKadoshos. The Shoyal asked the Maril that I made a nether not to eat a Suda a whole week, only in a Suda's Mitzvah. Which Sudas go into the category of a Suda's Mitzvah? Then he goes, another HaKadoshos. V'chol ha'itcha b'nena mi'suda samet chokhen. Kilu Ner Bazibashino, Kmoisha Dosu Rabisainu Sudas Yusroy, Hilko, says the Maril, like Boina Name Sudas Maril number 3. The Maril in Hikra Sukkot. When the Bokrim came to eat by him every year Chalamoid, so he made a seal Masechta that they learned in that boy Belag Boina that he made a seal Masechta. Not only that he made a seal Masechta, but like Boina, he used to call not only the Yeshiva Bochim, he used to call also the small kids of the shtetl, of the city. That's number one. And then, what does it say? V'hoyo harav boitzeya. The Maril got the challah, yeah, the Suda's Mitzvah, and he gave over one piece to the second table that the Talmidim sat, and he looked after the Talmud that divided the Prusa for his friends, for the Talmidim, and he wanted that everybody should eat from his piece of challah that he gets at the Talmud. Matan Moshe is matik this piece, and the Magen Avraham is matik from the matik of Matan Moshe, and he doesn't understand, he doesn't understand what the Maril wants. But what do we learn from this Maril? That the seal that he made like Boim was even more chosher by him and the other siyumim that he made for this man, for Sov's man. Now we're going to Maril number 4. This is one of the last pieces in the Minhagim Maril. And it goes like this. That like Bo'imer, the Rosh Hashiva used to go out l'sameach with the Bocher. And one year, the son of the Shamash got in a fight with one of the Talmidim of the Yeshiva, Achover Ablemel Beramoyish Noimat Katz. And they were fighting and chappening, until the son of the Shamash cursed him, and he said, Mr. Chaza. The Maril heard this, and right away, he put in this kid into Chaza. Ba'omale, and the Maril gave him Musa. Eichata Rishai likroi la bachorim shali davarach. And he stood in Chaza until Monday after Lag Boimah. And now I'm turning over the Nusa. Holach harav v'beit ha'yishide, v'yoyse mechamishim bachorim imba. Omar Shama Shamesh, im benoi, boi mevakshi mechila. Haben bifne atmoi. The kid that cursed asked for himself, and the father asked for his son. Now, from who do they ask mechila? From the Rav, and from the Bachur, and mikol bnei yeshiva. And the main point that I want to give out now is the last sentence. We never heard that the Maril was mocking someone. Not before and not after. We have the same issue by his famous Talmud, the Thomas Adesha, and the Fergusarim. This writes a comment on the Thomas Adesha in the new Sefer Leket Yeshiva. They had in the yeshiva of the Thomas Adesha, the Tava, the Suda, Lagboina, and they didn't shave the hair. They were so busy with the Suda, with the Simcha, they just forgot to shave the hair. So now, they had a problem. Because they had the Suda most of the day, they forgot to shave the beard. And they finished the Suda, they benched, and they chaf. Why? You forgot to shave our beard. So they asked the Rebbe, the Tum tradition, are we still allowed to shave yet? So he answers like this. Omar Rav, Keimu she'ova roiv ha'yoim ve'asu'udo? Lama nesapir. Okay, that's one tshuva. By the Trum's edition. The second Shura. His Talmud asks him that I have Yotzah, if he has Yotzah like Boimah on his mother. If he could come to the Suda, from the Rebbe, from the Talmud Sanhedrin. So the Talmud Sanhedrin answers him like this. My uncle had Yotzad also on his mother like Vayna. And his swagger, his brother-in-law, was the Avram Kloizner. Avram Kloizner was a friend of the Marine. He could even be, he was a door before the Marine. And he was the Rosh Hashiva, the Von Meiser. And he made a Suda for his Bahrain. And my uncle ate with him. So we see, we have a Meiserav that the Suda like Boina, that you're not makbid mitzvot Avelos, the Eichot Avelos, Suda like Boina. Now the lesson of the translation is like this. Oy soy minig yontav de rabonon shelag boimer, doicho esa iso shel tainis yotzai. Because Tamir Abikina passed away, there was a big chil Hashem. We see that the Torah is not maginil matzle on the Torah. So, in Ashkenaz, what did they do? They wanted to be mechazek the Bnei HaYeshiva. That's why the Maril called this Suda that they made Lechabed es HaToyro, Suda Shashchina Shoyoba, because the Suda Shatamad Chom Shoyoba. It's even more than a Siyam Mashas, a Siyam Masechta. And that's why, like Bo'imer, he got angry on this kid that cursed this Talmud. It's not his Talmud. It's a Talmud of Yeshiva. A Talmud of Yeshiva in this day has to be the Choshev Tazach. And that's why when he came to ask Mechila, he didn't ask from him. He chepped the Yeshiva, he chepped. And that's why he asked Mechila all the Bochrim. Smachto for this Mahalach, I found in Tshuva Satashvet. In Tshuva Satashvet, the last Tshuva on Chelik Aleph, he asked, why do we have... Why are we doing Minog Avelis in Mea Sphira? So he answers like this, that Rabbi Kiva Tamidim passed away. So he asks Pshat, What's Pshat? Hello. The Tashbit says like this, Sheshonino, it is a Mishnah Novus, Yikvoit Chavercho Chavival Kishaloch. Sheshonino, Yikvoit Chavercho Kimoyo Rabo, Umoyo Rabo Kimoyo Shamayim. Behem Loinago Kain. Nemsu umesu. Now was the word. If you show your goyimim le toiro shetischale al yodon, shabriyo is oimim oiloy le mishalom toiro. Just the minig Ashkenaz that they didn't say tachnun, and they made a mishta v'simcha to be mechazik the talmid ha'yeshiva and to make a kiddush Hashem. That's why he called that all the balabatim and the kids should be mishtatav in this siyum, because everybody should see that we have. That we are Mechaber Torah, and we are Mechazik Deitz Chaim.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Goldhaber. Kol Tov.
Gesundheit.
Thank you. Kol Tov.